It's not an especially nice term when people refer to other people as being put out to pasture, but it certainly pays some benefits when farm animals are put on pasture land. So Friends of Family Farmers runs a program called the Oregon Pasture Network, which aims to push the benefits and the acreage of pasture land in Oregon. Lindsay Trant is organizer and OPN program manager at Friends of Family Farms and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Lindsay, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Good to have you. Let's give us a big picture, if you would, the situation with pasture-based farming and what the trends have been in recent years. What's been going on?
Yeah, so we wanted to support people who are choosing to raise their animals on pasture. The reality is if you don't know where your meat is coming from, you don't know your farmer. It's likely coming from a factory farm, a large confined facility. And so we wanted to create a program that provides support to people who raise animals on pasture and use practices like rotational grazing that are not only better for the animal, but they can help the environment too by sequestering carbon from the atmosphere into the soil. Yeah.
So essentially the concentrated animal feeding operations, the often criticized factory farms, that's the situation you want to reverse?
Avoid, yeah, and we want to be able to support the alternative. We want to be able to raise up those maybe smaller-scale producers who are raising animals the right way and certainly provide consumers with more know-how and connection to their local producers to be able to support that positive alternative.
How long ago did Friends of Family Farmers begin the Pasture Network program?
So it started out of a different program that goes back to maybe the mid-2000s, but the Oregon Pasture Network, in the form that it is now, started in 2016.
And how big a list of participants so far?
Right now we have 60 producers across the state, and that creates to tens of thousands of acres almost. But we grow every year. We're adding more producers every year.
And the pledge they have to take, the Pasture Network pledge. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that. Yeah. And what they agree to do.
Yeah, so basically the Pasture Network pledge is really at the heart of the program. We care a lot about that. And what it is it's a pledge that producers take when they apply to join the Oregon Pasture Network. And we want all of our producers to have the same, goal at the heart of their production methods. Every operation is a little bit different. People have to make decisions based on the scale of their operation, the landscape, the types of animals they're raising. But at the core of each of the farms in the Oregon Pasture Network is kind of the same dedication to stewarding the land in a way that promotes the health of the environment and the animal. And that pledge is kind of what that gets at.
So then in some cases, the farmers are agreeing to change their practices to align with the network values?
I wouldn't say that they're ever required to change them. One of the things that we kind of look for, we have an application process. We do visits to these farms because we want to be able to help promote their products. So we want to make sure that the people in the network are raising animals on pasture. And one of the things we look for is, is there a desire to continually improve their pasture-based system? I don't think any farmer would ever say that their operation is perfect. Everything's dialed in, right? And so different producers in the network are at different places in their production. We're not going to not let someone in because they don't have enough funds to get all the fencing they need, right? We want to help provide those resources through workshops and through networking opportunities, like getting producers together through pasture walks to help them get the resources and learn how to continue to improve their pasture-based systems.
So pasture walks, a bunch of other farmers get together on one farmer's pasture and say, you might do this, you could do that, this would help there.
Yeah, definitely. And they're kind of regionally specific. We host them in different parts of the state. So you can say, oh man, yeah, that forage crop didn't work on my field. And, they might say, yeah, in this area, that one doesn't work as well. But this is what I did. This is what I seed.
We're talking to Lindsay Trant at the Friends of Family Farmers organization. She's an organizer and the manager of the Oregon Pasture Network, which pushes the benefits and acreage of pasture land in Oregon. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Your questions and comments on pasturing animals is welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned fences in passing, but what other kinds of things will a farmer do then to increase pasture land and encourage the animals out there on the pasture?
So rotational grazing is a big one. It's kind of managing the points at which you're taking animals off and off pasture very intentionally and grazing the crops, the forages, down, you know, to just the right level, moving them onto new pasture. So doing that in a really like a really mindful, really managed way is probably one of the key aspects. And then, you know, seeding would be another thing. Like what types of forage you have in your pasture. That's another big aspect. And even what, you know, which animals you're raising when.
So when you talk about moving the rotation part, you really want to get the animal off the land or the animals off the land before they munch it down to bare stubble, right?
Yeah, you want to get it, you know, just that right height. So you want to put them on when it's at, you know, a certain height and then take them off, yeah, before they're totally getting down, you know, to hurting the forage. You want to keep it, you want to help the pasture grow. You know, you don't want to hurt it.
Mm-hmm. This strikes me largely as elbow room, and I realize, you know, farm animals don't have elbows per se, but I mean you're really talking about a little more room to move around, a lot more room to move around in some cases. So I would imagine then that if you're going to have a farm operation where you're emphasizing pasture, you're going to need a little more land than if you're doing a concentrated feeding operation, right?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Has that led any of the farms in the network to expand, to acquire more land nearby, that sort of thing?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. A lot of the producers, everybody does different things. Some of the operations are older than others, and some of the ones that have been around a long time, I've gone to visit their farms, and they started, you know, leasing land from their neighbors. You know, their neighbors have seen that they raise their animals, like, really, they manage them very carefully, and so they're, you know, willing to lease some of their unused pasture to them. I see that quite a bit, or even, you know, land that's nearby, and then they're, you know, have different herds in different places of land nearby.
Is it a bit of a challenge right now? I mean, I know I've talked to people in the agriculture business in Southern Oregon recently, talked about one of the challenges, particularly for FFA students, trying to get them to think about their farm when they get out of school. But land is really expensive right now, isn't it?
It is really expensive, yes. That's definitely a challenge. And we actually have another program that helps with that called Oregon FarmLink, which is an online database where people can list their land and other farmers can go and look for land. And that really helps to get kind of that, like, you know, oh, okay, I want to list my, I have 10 acres that I'm not using. Somebody else could be using this. I'm going to go list that on Oregon FarmLink. So we try to help that by kind of dovetailing those two programs.
Particularly in Southern Oregon, where there's a great emphasis on hemp. I think Jackson County has more acres planted in hemp than any other county in Oregon. Have you lost any pasture land in some places?
Yeah, I've heard a lot about that. I was down in that area earlier this summer for a pasture walk that we hosted, and I heard a lot about that from producers. And so actually we have a workshop coming up November 7th through 9th on called Grazing Soils and Pasture. That's going to go over everything about pasture-based production. It's really an amazing course. And we've done this course before, you know, up in the Willamette Valley, and we're customizing it a little bit. We're hosting it in Central Point, and we're customizing it a little bit to have a section on integrating forage crops into hemp production so that there might be a way to help. So if you're raising hemp on your land for part of the year, maybe the other part can be cover cropping with forage, and that can be leased out to a farmer nearby, or you could have your own kind of pasture-based production.
All right. You got some flexibility built into the program then, huh?
Yes.
So you mentioned November 7th through 9th in Central Point. Is this going to be at the expo or at the Extension Center?
The Extension Center, yeah. Okay. And there's information about that on our website, friendsoffamilyfarmers.org.
Okay, we are linked to that already from our website at jeffexchange.org. We're talking to Lindsay Trant at Friends of Family Farmers. She's an organizer and the manager of the Oregon Pasture Network. We're talking about OPN and its efforts to get more room for some farm animals on pasture land. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. I did look at the list of participants in the Oregon Pasture mm-hmm. Network. It's no surprise there are several dairies on there, but it's not just dairies. I mean, who else can do pasture-based farming?
Anyone that's raising animals. We have producers raising anything you can think of, pigs, chickens, goats, sheep. We even have some bison and yak. Cows for beef.
You said yak?
Yeah, yep, there's a producer raising yak.
Wow. Any particular special needs for each of the animals, or is pasture is pasture is pasture?
No, there's definitely special needs for different species. Particularly, you know, there's some animals, but ruminants, that can get their entire diet more so off of pasture, whereas other animals aren't, their stomachs aren't like that. So like a cow is a ruminant, they have a different biological system than a pig. Pigs do need some grain into their diet. They can't just eat grass. So there's very different needs there.
I noticed, Lindsay, that you worked for the Oregon Legislature at one time. How does that experience help you in working for Friends of Family Farmers?
Yeah. I worked as a committee assistant, which is a nonpartisan role in the Oregon State Legislature. And it really helps to just have that knowledge of how the policy process works. Friends and Family Farmers, we do some policy work on behalf of the smaller scale farms in Oregon. And so just having that knowledge of literally how a bill, gets formed, how the public process works, what even an amendment is and how that happens, has been immensely helpful.
Did I have to believe that Friends and Family Farmers made some requests of the legislation? I wonder how those did.
Yeah, we did. We had a few policies. We focused on a few beginning farmer access to land bills. As you mentioned earlier, the price of land is just rising, and that's really hard on beginning farmers. So we are we've introduced beginning farmer bills several times with some success. In the past, we passed a program known as Aggie Bonds. That's a low-interest lending program to beginning farmers. We secured more funding for that this session. We also helped secure SNAP match funding with partners.
So the big one is trying to help out farmers who are getting started, it sounds like.
Yes, definitely. That is a big policy focus of ours. We travel all over the state to hear from farmers, and that is continually one of the top issues that gets raised.
Land prices aside, is this, and of course that's a big area of concern, obviously, because you'd need land for farming, obviously. But that aside, is it a particularly tough, or is it getting to be a somewhat better time for farmers in Oregon?
In terms of their how accessible land is. Is that what you mean?
No, I just didn't mean in general. I mean, land aside. I mean, how's the general climate for farming in Oregon? And by climate, I mean like economics, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough. And I think every operation is different. I'm not sure that it's getting immensely easier for a farmer, no matter what you're raising or where you're raising it. I think that there's definitely a growing interest from consumers in sourcing from locally, farms, and looking into more of these production methods, like learning about pasture-based production. But I don't think that the climate is like thriving yet. I think mm-hmm. that there's still a lot of work to be done to support our family farmers across the state.
Lindsay, for the Oregon Pasture Network, are there some numerical goals like number of farms or amount of acreage?
I don't have a specific numerical goal, but to me, I would love to have every pasture-based producer in Oregon in our network, because the best way to learn is from each other. The pasture-based producers have gone through the trial and error, so if I can get them all in the same program and get them talking to each other and learning with each other, that's my ultimate goal.
And how about for people who are not farmers? How can they support the work of farmers who do belong to the Oregon Pasture Network?
Yeah, so they can go to OregonPastureNetwork.org, and we actually have an online product guide. So if you're interested in supporting a local pasture-based producer, you can go into the website, type in your zip code, and then those products will pop up near you. So you can see that this person is selling their beef to this restaurant, and you can go there and check it out.
It's a fairly comprehensive list. I was surprised at how far down you have to scroll to get to the bottom of it. So there's a fair amount of stuff already going on with the Oregon Pasture Network, and obviously you're trying to add more people all the time.
Yeah, definitely.
Lindsay Trant, thanks so much for joining us, organizer and program manager for the Oregon Pasture Network at Friends of Family Farmers. Good to talk to you.
Thank you. You as well.
You take care.